This program is intended for individuals who are blind or are unable to read physical print and is brought to you by CABVI's Audio Information Services team.
Hi, this is Julianne with the February 2nd, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US, and as always, we'll start with the week's big news. The first article is Arctic Blast Sweeps Through US. A snap of extremely cold weather has broken records and disrupted daily life for hundreds of millions of Americans across the nation. What is happening? From January 15 to January 21, snow, ice, and dangerous cold conditions brought life to a temporary standstill for 79% of the country, from the West Coast to the Northeast and South to Florida. In many parts of the U.S., the weather closed schools, delayed transportation, knocked out power, and affected water supply. At one point, more than 231 million Americans were experiencing below-average temperatures. What areas have been affected? Weather records were shattered in numerous states, especially in the Rocky Mountains, Great Plains, and Midwest regions. Dickinson, North Dakota, dropped to a wind chill, what the air temperature feels like to people, of minus 70 degrees Fahrenheit, its coldest since 2001. In Montana, at least 13 cities hit record low temperatures, including Helena, which at minus 36 degrees F was the coldest it has been since 1888. The average low temperature for the city at this time of year is 16 degrees Fahrenheit. The South was also hit hard. At least four cities in Alabama set records, while Austin, Texas had a low of 16 degrees Fahrenheit. Austin usually averages a low of 43 degrees Fahrenheit at this time of year. Buffalo, New York, and some suburbs were hit with 5 feet of snow in 5 days. Highways were closed in LaPorte County, Indiana, where 32 inches of snow fell. How will people be affected? The weather caused thousands of flights to be canceled and also interrupted Amtrak train service. At least 75 people died from weather-related causes across the U.S. Oregon's governor declared a state of emergency on January 18 after an ice storm knocked out electricity for more than 120,000 homes and businesses in the Willamette Valley and caused 4 days of school cancellations in Portland due to hazardous conditions. Schools and colleges were closed or went remote in many southern states, including Alabama and Arkansas, where people are used to milder winter weather. In many southern communities, residents were warned to boil their drinking water after the cold damaged water processing equipment. West Virginia's state government closed on January 19 because many lawmakers could not make it to the Capitol on snow-clogged roads. The extreme cold contributed to more than 60 oil spills in North Dakota, where facilities and crews were strained. How are people being helped? Cities and towns across the country, including Kansas City, Missouri, Houston, Texas, and Chicago, Illinois, opened warming centers for people whose homes didn't have enough heat. More than 700 unhoused people slept in Nashville, Tennessee homeless shelters to stay warm, and more than 300 others stayed in an overflow shelter that opens when temperatures fall below freezing. Meanwhile, crews were working to restore power in affected states. As of January 23, nearly 8,500 customers in Texas, more than 6,800 in California, and nearly 3,000 in Oregon were without electricity. Officials in many states checked on senior citizens and disabled residents, either in person or by phone. Colorado's governor issued a disaster declaration and mobilized the National Guard, which is a branch of the military, to help communities experiencing dangerous conditions. What will happen next? When the Week Junior went to press, warmer air and rain were on the way across the U.S. Temperatures were expected to be 20 degrees Fahrenheit to 30 degrees Fahrenheit higher than the previous week, bringing them back to above average for this time of year. The information bubble is wow. The most extreme period of cold weather in U.S. history was February 1 through 14, 1899, when every state dropped below 0 degrees Fahrenheit. And the sidebar is the coldest day ever. On January 23, 1971, the town of Prospect Creek, Alaska, hit minus 80 degrees Fahrenheit, the coldest temperature ever recorded in the U.S. The high temperature that day in this town just north of the Arctic Circle was negative 64 degrees Fahrenheit. About 160 miles away, the city of Fairbanks averaged minus 31.7 degrees Fahrenheit the same month. Next, the Youth Olympics begin. The fourth Winter Youth Olympic Games began on January 19 in Gangwon Province of South Korea and will continue until February 1. The games include 1,900 athletes aged 15 to 18 from about 80 countries. They will compete in sports including skiing, snowboarding, figure skating, speed skating, ice hockey, luge, and biathlon. The YOG happen every 2 years, alternating between summer and winter. The first summer games were held in Singapore in 2010, and Austria hosted the first winter games in 2012. The YOG also offer an educational program for young athletes focused on training and performance and balancing competition with life outside their sport. When the Weak Junior went to press, Italy and Austria led the medal count with 11 each, including 7 golds for Italy and 1 for Austria. The U.S. had won 3 medals. Josie Johnson took silver in ski jumping, Morgan Schutt won silver in freestyle skiing, and Sean Baxiong Shao took gold in speed skating. Many YOG athletes have gone on to become Olympic champions. And next, Japan lands spacecraft on Moon. On January 19, Japan became the fifth country to land a spacecraft on the Moon when its Smart Lander for Investigating Moon, or SLIM, touched down on the lunar surface. Japan follows the U.S., China, India, and the Soviet Union, which is a former country made up of Russia and other countries. SLM is equipped with a new vision-based technology that was designed to achieve the most precise moon landing ever, touching down within 328 feet of a target spot. The lander appears to have achieved this goal, but JAXA, this Japanese space agency, said that further data is needed for confirmation. Previous spacecraft have landed within several miles of a target. Although SLIM may have hit its target, it faced other problems. JAXA reported that the lander's solar panels were not providing power, possibly because they were not in the right position. That left SLIM to rely on battery power, which would last for a short period of time. On January 22, JAXA said it had shut down SLIM while it still had 12% battery left. That way, if the solar panels do start working, the lander will have enough power left to be remotely restarted from Earth. SLIM, which launched in September, has a mission to explore the moon and search for signs of water and certain minerals. This was Japan's second attempt to land on the lunar surface after a 2022 attempt failed. The agency has previously succeeded in landing spacecraft on small asteroids and hopes to eventually put a spacecraft on Mars. Despite SLIM's complications, JAXA said on social media, "We are glad we could achieve so much and are happy to have landed successfully." The word of the week this week is explorer, E-X-P-L-O-R-E-R. The words explore and explorer have a surprising history. Each is based on the Latin ex, meaning out, and plorare, to cry, making to cry out the meaning of explore. It's thought that explorer once referred to hunters who would shout to force animals out. Later, it was applied to adventurers who went hunting for discoveries. This week in history, on February 3, 1995, NASA astronaut Eileen Collins became the first woman to pilot a space shuttle. She piloted the shuttle Discovery to deploy a 2,600-pound satellite into space. Collins called the role a dream come true. In 1999, she made history again, becoming the first woman to command a mission into space. She led the crew of the shuttle Columbia to release a telescope into space. In the how-to section, we learn how to get a good night's sleep. Most tweens and teens need about 9 to 11 hours of sleep every night to be their healthiest and do their best in school. However, most kids this age get much less. There are many reasons, including homework, evening activities, and socializing with friends. Here's how you can get a better night's sleep. Have a set bedtime. When you go to sleep at the same time every night, your body gets used to the schedule and you fall asleep more easily. To figure out what your bedtime schedule should be, think about when you have to wake up and work backward. If you want to get 10 hours of sleep and have to wake up at 7 a.m., you would need to go to sleep at 9 p.m. Wind down before bed. Give yourself a full hour to relax before bedtime so your body and mind are ready for sleep. You can split the hour into 3 20-minute segments this way. 20 minutes to prepare for the next day. Pack your school bag, lay out your clothes, fill your water bottle, and so on. 20 minutes for hygiene, shower and brush your teeth, and 20 minutes to relax, read a book, draw, or listen to calming music. Make sure your sleep space is comfortable, whether that means slipping into a made bed or curling up under your favorite blanket. Avoid sleep stealers. Things you eat, drink, and do during the day can also affect your sleep schedule. Try to avoid food and beverages with caffeine, such as coffee, tea, or chocolate, in the afternoon and evening, and don't eat a heavy snack close to bedtime. Exercise can help you feel more tired, but working out within a couple hours before bedtime can make it hard for you to wind down. Try not to send messages, scroll through your phone, watch YouTube, or play video games right before bed, because the light from screens can trick your body into thinking it's daytime. Be patient. It can take 2 weeks or even longer for your new sleep routine to work. If you can't fall asleep after 20 minutes of lying in bed, it's okay to get up and do something else for a while, like sitting in a comfortable chair to read until you feel more tired. In the information bubble, waking up. New research suggests that hitting the snooze button can help those with morning drowsiness feel more awake after getting up. And the sidebar, why it's important. More sleep can help you be your best self. First, studies show that getting enough sleep helps improve your mood and makes you happier. Sleep can also help you from getting sick. As you sleep, your body produces cytokines, a type of protein that helps your body fight illnesses. Without enough sleep or cytokines, you could be more likely to get ill and sick and be sick longer. Another benefit of sleep? It helps make you stronger, both mentally and physically. More sleep has been shown to help improve your memory, and it makes you stronger by giving your muscles and mind time to grow and recover. In Animals in the Environment, we learn that apes have long-term memories. Humans have an ability to remember one another over time, but animals' memories are thought to be less strong. Researchers have now discovered, however, that chimps and their close relatives, bonobos, can remember faces they have not seen for many years. Chimpanzees and bonobos are two types of great apes, the species most similar to humans. While humans are known to form long-term memories, researchers wanted to see whether chimps and bonobos had the same ability. The team studied 26 great apes living in zoos and sanctuaries. The animals were shown videos of faces of two other apes, one of their former chimp companions and a total stranger. The apes spent more time looking at the images of their former friends than the unknown faces. This was true even if they had not seen the other ape for as many as 26 years, a record for non-human facial memories. Scientists want to test other animals that live in groups and have lengthy lives, such as dolphins, to see how long their memories last. And the information bubble is, wow, the oldest known primate was Cheetah, the chimpanzee, who lived for 80 years. The special section is all about Groundhog Day, the story behind the quirky holiday. How did people come to rely on a furry animal to forecast the weather? The customs of Groundhog Day date back to the 16th century. What is Groundhog Day? The day is observed every February 2 in the U.S. and Canada. According to legend, if a groundhog, which is a species of marmot, emerges from its den and sees its shadow, there will be 6 more weeks of winter. If it doesn't see its shadow, spring weather is coming soon. The day has roots in ancient Europe in the Christian holiday called Candlemas. Long before modern tools to predict the weather were invented, a sunny Candlemas was thought to mean 40 more days of winter. Later, Germans added small animals like badgers and hedgehogs to the holiday. If they saw their shadow, there would be 40 more days of cold. The event spreads to the U.S. When German immigrants came to America in the 1700s, they began using groundhogs, which are native to North America, to predict the weather. The first mention of Groundhog Day was in 1886 in the Punxsutawney Spirit, a Pennsylvania newspaper. The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club was formed in 1899, and groundhog lodges followed in the 1930s to keep the culture of the Pennsylvania Dutch, also known as Pennsylvania Germans, alive. Groundhog Day became widely known due to televised coverage and a groundhog's visit to the White House in 1986. Celebrations today. The biggest Groundhog Day celebration in the U.S. is still held in Punxsutawney. Each February 2, tens of thousands of people gather in an area near the town called Gobbler's Knob to find out if the groundhog will see a shadow. The festivities are led by the Inner Circle, a group from groundhog lodges who wear top hats and speak in a Pennsylvania Dutch dialect. From February 1 through 3, events include lunch with Groundhog Punxsutawney Phil and an annual groundhog ball. Elsewhere in North America, there are more than 150 additional Groundhog Day celebrations. They star other weather-predicting groundhogs, like Staten Island Chuck in New York City, who famously bit the city's mayor in 2009. How accurate is Phil? Since his first forecast in 1887, Punxsutawney Phil has been right 39% of the time. The Punxsutawney Groundhog Club claims there has been only one Phil. However, groundhogs live up to 6 years. You be the judge. Phil's predictions include the 108 times he saw his shadow, the 19 times he didn't, and the 1 year he refused to appear. Records are missing for some years. Daniel Blumstein, a scientist who studies marmots, told NPR that he hopes Groundhog Day gives people a greater appreciation of nature and a chuckle over the idea that it's the middle of the winter and we're hoping a rodent will tell us what the future is. The first information bubble, fun fact. The term Groundhog Day, meaning to relive the same dull experiences over and over, was popularized by the 1993 film of the same name. The second, wow. Groundhogs usually weigh between 12 and 15 pounds, but Punxsutawney Phil weighs 20 pounds. And the last one, did you know? Groundhogs go by different names. They are also known as woodchucks, land beavers, and whistle pigs. And the sidebar, more animals that predict the weather. Punxsutawney Phil isn't the only seasonal prognosticator. Meet three more animals throughout the U.S. who are called into service to forecast the weather. Quentin the Quahog. More than 30 years ago in Nantucket, Massachusetts, the harbor master began a tradition, a clam that predicts the weather. If Quentin the Quahog squirts seawater to the right when opened, spring weather will arrive early. If it squirts left, more winter. Phil the Beaver. While Pennsylvania has Phil, the Oregon Zoo has Phil, spelled F-I-L. Also known as Stumptown Phil, this beaver was born at the zoo in 2011 and has started making weather predictions in 2020. The zoo admits that so far, Phil's dam-building skills are more impressive than his forecasts. Bee Cave Bob the Armadillo. The groundhog is, with groundhogs in short supply in Texas, Bee Cave Bob the Armadillo has been predicting the weather for almost 15 years. Texans refer to February 2 as Armadillo Day, named for the official small mammal of Texas. In science and technology, there's a device that helps people with brain injuries. A device used to treat brain injuries worked so well that, following a trial, some patients refused to have theirs turn off. The trial, which began in 2018, involved five people between the ages of 22 and 60. They all had cognitive, related to mental activity like thinking or reasoning, problems after suffering severe brain injuries between 3 and 18 years earlier. The injuries meant they had difficulty performing some tasks. For the trial, doctors implanted a tiny device into each patient's brain during an operation. The device used deep brain stimulation, or DBS, which rebuilds connections between neurons. Neurons are tiny cells, and there are millions of them in the brain. Whenever you do anything, chemical and electrical signals move between your neurons. The tiny device applied electricity to parts of the brain where these signals had been interrupted. The trial was the first to focus on DBS on a part of the brain that deals with consciousness, which means being aware of your surroundings and being able to respond to them. After the devices were implanted, the patients in the study had them turned on for 90 days for 12 hours a day. This had an incredible impact on their lives. They could suddenly do things like reading a book or playing video games that had previously been impossible because of their brain injuries. They also reported feeling less tired and could get through the day without napping. After 90 days, researchers wanted to turn off some of the patients' devices. The team needed to compare their brain performance with the patients whose devices were still on. Two people were so happy with the difference the device made in their lives that they refused. Eventually, one person agreed to have theirs switched off, and their brain performance got notably worse. Gina Arata, a patient who took part in the trial, said, "I can remember how much money is in my bank account. I wasn't able to read, but after the implant, I bought a book, and I loved it and remembered it." Nicholas Schiff, one of the authors of the study, called it a pioneering moment. The information bubble is, did you know? Information travels through the human brain at about 268 miles per hour and generates enough electricity to power a light bulb. And the sidebar is learning to walk again. Another electrical implant has dramatically improved a man's life. Marc Gauthier, who is from France, has Parkinson's disease, a brain condition that causes part of the brain to break down. It affects movement and gets worse over time. Gauthier had lived with this disease for nearly 30 years, and his body was no longer responding to other treatments. He had stopped working because he often fell. Doctors attached a new type of implant to several spots on Gauthier's lower spine. The device applies electrical stimulation to his nerves, which activates them so they can tell his leg muscles to move. The device does not directly control the movement in his legs. Gauthier's brain still does that. The treatment is not a cure, but Gauthier can now walk for miles. Now on to the sports section, where we read about inspiring winners at Dakar Rally. The 46th edition of the world's biggest motorsports event, the Dakar Rally, concluded on January 19. It was a two-week, 12-stage off-road race over nearly 5,000 miles in Saudi Arabia. The Dakar Rally has competitions for five categories of vehicles: motorbikes, quads, cars, lightweight vehicles, and trucks. The race began with 340 vehicles, but only 239 made it to the finish line. The big winner in the car category was Spanish racer Carlos Sainz, age 61. He is the oldest competitor to win the race, and this was his fourth Dakar win of his career. This year's event was also historic for two female racers. In the Challenger class, a type of lightweight buggy, the overall winner was Cristina Gutierrez, another driver from Spain. She is the first female champion at Dakar since 2001. Gutierrez, who works as a dentist when she isn't racing, has been trailing American Mitch Guthrie Jr., but he was slowed by technical problems. 2 days earlier, Sarah Price became the first American woman to win a stage of the Dakar Rally. Her win was in the SSV class, another type of buggy, during Stage 10, was the third win by a woman in the race's history. It was her first Dakar appearance, but she has medaled in an X Games, won a national dirt bike championship, and driven an electric racing series. She has also worked as a stunt driver in films. "All the little girls looking up to me saying, 'Hey, I can do it too.' That's pretty cool," she said after her Dakar win. In the end, Price finished in fourth place. American Ricky Brabeck, who is Price's boyfriend, placed first in the Rally GP bike race. The information bubble is, did you know? Dakar is the capital of Senegal, where the Dakar Rally used to finish. In this week's winners in college basketball, on January 21, Stanford University's women's basketball team beat Oregon State University 65-56. It was Stanford head coach Tara Vanderveer's 1,203rd career win, which broke a record held by former Duke University coach Mike Krzyzewski for the most head coaching wins in college basketball history. Vanderveer's first head coaching job was in 1978. She has won three national championships at Stanford. In field hockey, the women's field hockey team beat Japan 2-1 on January 18 to qualify for the 2024 Paris Olympics. It was a major comeback for the team, which did not make the 2020 Games. And in golf, Nick Dunlap, a 20-year-old who plays for the University of Alabama, has become the first amateur golfer to win a PGA Tour event since 1991. On January 21, he won the American Express tournament by one stroke. We'll finish up with around the world. In Bishkek, Kyrgyzstan, the government cracks down on media. National authorities raided the office of the news organization 24KG on January 15. They confiscated reporters' equipment and closed the office. Raids on homes of other current and former journalists followed. In recent years, Kyrgyzstan's government has put increasing pressure on media organizations that criticize its policies. The U.S. and the European Union, which is a group of 27 nations, expressed concern, urging respect for a free press. In China, the population continues to fall. Data shows China's population has decreased for the second year in a row, falling by more than 2 million people in 2023. The government introduced a one-child limit per family in 1979 when the population was growing rapidly and resources such as water were strained. The policy ended in 2016, but China's birth rate is still low, now the lowest on record. Officials are concerned the shrinking population will harm the nation's economy. In Germany, there were political demonstrations. Protests against the political party Alternative for Deutschland, or AfD, took place across the country. More than 1 million people rallied from January 19 to 21 in response to a meeting where senior AfD members discussed sending large numbers of migrants from other countries out of Germany. The nation's leader, Olaf Scholz, joined one protest. In Zakopane, Poland, there are stunning snow mazes. Every year, visitors gather at Snowlandia, a winter theme park with a maze built from snow. It is the largest snow maze in the world, covering an area about 32,000 square feet with walls over 6 feet high. The park also has a snow castle with 49-foot towers to explore and an ice palace where visitors can admire ice sculptures. In Kenya, there's a rhino relocation. Wildlife experts are moving 21 black rhinos from 3 parks to a larger, safer area. This is the biggest rhino relocation project Kenya has undertaken. Black rhinos are classified as critically endangered and are often at risk of poaching or being illegally hunted for their horns. They are being moved to the Loisaba Conservancy in central Kenya so they have more space to roam and a greater chance to breed. Well, that's all the time we have this week for the February 2nd, 2024 edition of the Week Junior US. This is Julianne, and have a great week.